I want to preach the gospel on this subject. The worst storm in history. The only sea of ship without rudder, mast, or helm. The worst storm in history. The only sea of ship without rudder, mast, or helm. And I am, of course, referring to the Ark of Noah. The Lord Jesus Christ, we read, opened his mouth and taught by parables. Hence the potency, and hence the pungency of our Lord's preaching. Because parables are always interesting and are always most instructive. There is no doubt that this was one of the reasons that the common people heard the Lord gladly, and having heard him, bore him this testimony. Never man spake like this man. Now in the Old Testament, there are recorded for us great facts of history. There's nothing mythical about the ark. Only a fool would deny the fact of the deluge or the flood. Because far removed from the oceans, thousands of miles from the oceans, seashells can be found on the tops of the mountains and in the great plains where there are no quarries, great boulders of a type of stone unknown in the country are found. These are marks of that terrific upheaval. These are marks of that great storm that hit this old world in the days of the flood. So there is no doubt that this is a great fact of history. But I want to take this fact of history, and I want to make a parable of it, and I want to draw some tremendous lessons from this great ark, this ship without mast, rudder, or helm, that outrode the worst storm in history and brought all those that sailed within her to the desired haven of rest and of peace. I want to do this very simply. I want first of all to note that it was a single ark. You can write over that ark the word alone. And you know, as we were reading that chapter, I was struck with those words, and Noah only. And I want to note that it was a single ark. Secondly, I want to comment on its size. I want you to ponder with me a moment the size of this great ark. And then I want to refer to its safety. This ark was safe. Never a ship ever sailed as safe as this ark. And then, fourthly, I want you to look at its structure, it has a most interesting and arresting structure. There are things about this ark and its structure that really amaze us. And then last of all, I want to emphasize its shelter. And praise God, there's a shelter in this ark amid the storms. And thank God, there's a shelter in the great ark of Jesus Christ. So it's very simple. I'm going to note that it was a single ark. I'm going to comment on its size. I'm going to refer to its safety. I'm going to look at its structure. And I'm going to emphasize its shelter. The ark was a single ark. There was no other ship like this ark when the day the worst storm in history struck this old world. That ark had a special uniqueness. It was a solo ship. There was no other ship like it, nor could any ship be compared to it. Not hard to draw the lesson, is it? Jesus Christ stands uniquely alone. There is no Christ like the Christ of God. There is no Savior to be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no salvation on a par with the salvation that is centered and summed up and circumscribed in Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel that is marked with the fact that it comes alone. And I want to tell you something tonight, sinner. I want to tell you that Jesus alone saves. I wish I could get that into men's hearts. Oh, the tragedy of this day is the fact that men have never got the message that Christ is the only Savior. They will try this religion and that religion. They will try this scheme and that scheme. They will try this plan and that plan. They will try this ceremony and that ceremony. They will try this church and that church. But friend, salvation is in Christ alone. And if you're not saved by Christ, you'll never, never, never be saved at all. Can you picture for a moment the coming of the worst storm in history? A great stillness is in the heaven. That strange procession, did you ever imagine it? For days has been making its way with an order that is divine to the one door of the ark. The lofty elephant has come. The tiniest insect has come. The graceful antelope has come. And the ignoble little toad and frog, it has come too. Yes, the fleetest horse has made its way, and the tiniest snail has crawled along the same pathway. What a procession. All the fools of Noah's day laughed. I can see a race of blasphemers laughing. And they called it Noah's Zoo. The old gray-haired, gray-bearded preacher. That fool Noah. What is he up to now? We always knew he was a fool. But that procession went on. It took the insect a long time to come, but it came. It took the snail a long time to come. But friend, every animal was on time. My, there's a great lesson here. I want to tell you, God will save his own elect people. God has a people that he'll bring in. God will bring them in. And he'll bring them in his own time too. Mother, you have prayed for your boy. God will bring him. May seem to you a long time. When I walked out of church in Kilkeel on Monday, there was that husband that had prayed many a year for his wife. You know what he was doing? He was over the car wheel and he was weeping tears of joy. I want to tell you, that's revival. And if you had that multiplied 1,000 times, you would see something happen in this city. And praise God, God can do it. This great procession, it wends its way. They all come. From the lofty heights, the great vultures and eagles of the sky come. And they're all going to the one door. And my friend, we have here a tremendous picture, a tremendous portrait, that Jesus Christ alone is the Savior. I needn't stress it, need I? I have said enough on that point. Let me talk to you about the size of the ark. There was nothing narrow or cramped about this great vessel. You know, people point to the Bible preachers and they say they're a narrow lot of people. No, friend, we're not narrow. We believe that a great multitude which no man can number will be gloriously saved by the blood of Jesus. We believe, my friend, that God's bringing a great number to heaven. You know what I can say to you tonight, as Noah said when the animals were coming in. I want you to picture this. There's Mrs. Noah standing there. And Shem and Mrs. Shem. And Ham and Mrs. Ham. I don't know what sort of bacon she was, but she was there anyway. I couldn't resist saying that. And then there was Japheth and Mrs. Japheth. And there they're all standing. And these boys are amazed. And they say, Father, where will we put them? Where shall we put them? And you know, when they were all in, yet there was room. And I can tell you, friend, that great sinners have come to Christ, and yet there is room. I can tell you tonight, my sinner friend, there's room for you in Jesus tonight. There's still power in the flowing blood of the Lamb. There's still omnipotence in the hand of my Savior. There's still almighty omnipotence in the fingertips of the Son of God. My, there's room for sinners in Christ tonight. I'm glad there is room. Preaching this week down in Kilkeel was a dear young man came to Christ. And my, when he came into the room, he was trembling from head to foot. I like to see men trembling under the power of the gospel. And after we had read the book and we had prayed together, I said to him, young man, do you believe the word? He says, yes, I believe it. I said, young man, are you saved? And he turned his eyes to me and he said, yes, if God's word is true, praise God, I'm saved. I want to tell you the word of God is true. And there's room, friend, for you tonight. Room for you and room for me and the great sheltering ark of God's salvation. Don't let the devil tell you there's no room for you in Christ, for there is room. You remember after the lame and the halt and the blind were brought, the master of the feast said, yet there is room. Room for sinners. I've said enough about its size. Could I refer to its safety? Ah, the storm came. And what a storm it was. The fountains of the deep were broken up. And God's omnipotence pulled aside the sluice gates that hold the ocean's tide. And allowing the tides to come up the pipes and right inland over the valleys and the hills. And the rain came down and poured its fury down on earth. Soon the plains are great lakes and oceans. And soon the high hills, their tips stand out like islands in the watery waste. And soon those hills are completely covered. And soon the mountain tops are like little islands that get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then every mountain top is covered. And this world is one vast sea without a shore. But what's that thing away yonder in the horizon? What's the thing that floats when everybody else drowns? What is it? It's the ark of God. Yes, friend, it outrides the storm, doesn't it? It doesn't sink. Old Noah never called Shem, Ham, and Japheth to the pumps to try and keep her afloat. My, she'll float all right. She hasn't a mast. She hasn't a rudder. She hasn't a helm. But she's out riding the storm. She's plowing her way through an ocean that has never before been seen and never hereafter will have such dominion over the earth. One ship that outrode the worst storm in history. Hear me, man and woman, hear me tonight. There's another storm coming to this old planet of ours. When this planet shall rock to and fro like a drunken man, when the stars will fall from heaven, leaving the orbits of millenniums to plunge into the abyss of the dark eternal oblivion, when the sun shall burn itself out in ashes in the sky, when the elements shall melt with the fervent heat of the judgment fires of heaven. Will there be a place of safety then? Will there be some place where a man, where a woman can hide? Will there be some ark that shall outride the storm and keep them safe in that awful day of wrath? Praise God, Jesus is that ark. He'll keep you safe amidst the worst judgment that ever hit this old planet. And bless God for every soul that can say in sincerity, hiding in thee, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. God grant that you'll be hiding in Christ when the storm hits the world. May it safe. Could we have a look at its structure? And what an interesting structure it is. It has one door. Just one door. My friend, I want to tell you, you get into Christ only by regeneration. Ye must be born again. Dr. Torrey tells in one of his great revival sermon books of a lady who came to hear him preach. She was a very respectable religious person, and Torrey knew her. And at the end of the meeting, many people came to the inquiry room, as they always did in Torrey's great revival campaigns. And to Torrey's amazement, she came. And when he walked into the inquiry room, she says, "I want to speak to you." Dr. Torrey said, "I cannot speak to you now. I'm going to speak to everybody else, madam. And then I'll talk to you." For he knew the type of woman she was. So he dealt with everybody else and led many souls to Christ. And then with his Bible in his hand, he sat down beside this woman. And she said, "Dr. Torrey, having listened to your sermon, I find that my spiritual experience is not satisfactory." The old doctor looked at her. He said, "Madam, you have no spiritual experience at all." He was really coming to the point. She said, "Well, Dr. Torrey, I have been brought up in church from my infancy, and I am now over 35 years of age." He said, "Right, let's look at the Bible." And he turned up John 3, and he says, "I'm going to read it. Except you're brought up in church from your infancy and are 35 years of age, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." He says, "Madam, it's not in this book." She really got annoyed. She said, "Well, I'll tell you something. I sing in the church choir." "All right," he says, "we'll look again. Except you sing in the church choir, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "Doesn't say that there, madam, either." By this time, she was really getting angry. He says, "Dr. Torrey, I teach in Sunday school." "All right, let's look again," said the old doctor. "Except you teach in Sunday school, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And by this time, she was really disturbed. And she looked at him, and Torrey said he could hardly keep from laughing. She said, "Well, look here, sir, I married the minister." "Ah," he says, "all right, let's look at it again. Except you marry the minister, you cannot see the kingdom of God." He said, "Madam, you're a guilty, hell-deserving wretch, and you must be born again." Torrey was a faithful preacher, you know. Really faithful preacher. And let me draw the conclusion tonight. Friend, there's only one door. And the door is not baptism, and it's not the Lord's Supper, and it's not church membership, and it's not Christian service. It's the new birth. And if you don't go in that way, you'll be outside forever. Secondly, there was only one window in the ark. And I want to tell you, friend, the only light that you can get is from above. And that window speaks to me of God, the Holy Ghost. He's the one that sends the light into your heart. It's the Spirit of God that chases the dark clouds of darkness. It's the Spirit of God that draws me to Christ. You know what the church needs? It needs the Spirit of God to have His way. Oh, that the mighty, eternal, omnipotent Spirit would fall upon us. Ah, this is what revival is, when God's Spirit comes down. May the Spirit of God come down upon you tonight and give you light. And could I say there are rooms? Yes, there are rooms in the ark. Everybody wasn't in the same room. No, sir. There were different rooms in the ark. And all God's people are not made the same way. They belong to different fellowships. They see things that are unimportant as far as salvation is concerned. They may be of great importance to them personally, but as far as salvation is concerned, they see them different from others. They have their own convictions. And no one's going to hold it against a person because they have deep convictions about things. But I want to tell you, friend, it's essential you're in one of the rooms in the ark. You might be in the lower room, or you might be in the top deck, but the thing that matters is to be in. Make sure you're in, friend. Make sure you're in one of those rooms tonight. Make sure you're in Christ, for the great storm's coming. And I'm going to tell you something. The great storm could hit. It could hit this world sooner than you think. Now, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I'm very careful when I come to prophecy. But if I know anything after years of study of this book, I'm convinced, friend, we're heading up for the great event of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm clear about it. In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. If the trembling lips of the archangel were placed at the trumpet tonight, if the great awakening note was heard summoning the blood-washed children of God to heaven, where would you be? Two shall be in the bed, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Friend, how would you stand if judgment came tonight? Could I note for a moment its shelter? You know who were sheltered in that ark? The clean and the unclean. There are people who are respectable. They are guided from their infancy by principles of decency and honesty. They never went down to the grosser sins of the flesh. You could trust them with your very life. They have walked the clean path of the broad road from infancy. But friend, whether you be clean or unclean, you've got to come in. And then there's the unclean. The person that's vile. The person that's dark. The person that is raked in the kennels of hell. The person that has committed every sin in the book. Tandragee Church was being built. I went one night to have a look at it. And there was a man there. One of the worst sinners in the countryside. And he said, "I'd like to talk to you, sir." I said, "Come in." And went into the little back room. Behind the pulpit. And you know what he said? He said, "Sir, I have committed every sin in the book but murder. Everyone. Is there any hope for me?" I said, "Man, there's hope for you in Jesus Christ." And that night we knelt down and I put my arm round him and I led him to Jesus. Since that day his wife has got saved. And they're rejoicing in the power of the gospel, walking with the Lord. I want to tell you something, my friend, this evening, and let me emphasize it. The unclean has to come in. The clean and the unclean. And then there was the flying things as well as the creeping things. You might soar to the heights in knowledge, or you might grovel in the dust of your ignorance. But you've got to come the same way. You might boast of great intelligence, You might boast of scholastic attainment and intellectual acquirements, but friend, you've got to come by the same door as the most groveling, ignorant sinner. Yes, sir. Mr. Nicholson told of his great campaign in Australia. And one day, a maid from one of the great families of Australia came to Jesus. And Nicholson said, go home and tell the lady that employs you, you've come to Christ. And the lady was so impressed with that maid's experience that one night she came to the mission. And after the meeting, she went up to Nicholson and she said, Mr. Nicholson, I'm the lady that employs the young girl that came to Christ. And she said, Mr. Nicholson, I would like to be saved, but I couldn't come the way Mary came. He says, Madam, then you can just go to hell. And you know, those words smote that woman so hard that she came to Christ. And she said in her testimony, I discovered I had to come the way my maid came. There was no other way. Friend, you've got to come the same way. The flying fowl, the eagle came to the same door as the insect. The clean and the unclean went through the same door. And if they hadn't gone in through that door, when the flood came, it would have been judgment and destruction forevermore. Friend, I'm through. Let me ask you a question. Are you in? Are you in? One of the greatest preachers of the North American continent was a man by the name of Henry Ward Beecher. He built the New Plymouth pulpit. He preached to vast congregations. And very suddenly, he died. And the congregation were at wit's end corner to find a man who could fill the pulpit. They searched America, and they searched England, and they came across a man by the name of Barry, Dr. Barry of Wolverhampton. And they asked Barry of Wolverhampton to go out and fill the pulpit. Barry was one of the greatest pulpit orators that ever stood in a pulpit. His eloquence was dazzling. His descriptions carried people off their feet. He was really a tremendous and most eloquent man. And he started to preach in the New Plymouth pulpit. And if Ward Beecher had crowds, he had greater crowds. But Barry knew nothing of the mighty grace of God or the power of the blood. He was simply an orator. A man who could paint tremendous word pictures. Who could dazzle people with his eloquence. Who could carry them away with his summing up of the situation. And he tells himself that one night he preached what was reckoned to be his most eloquent sermon. The church was packed. There was no standing room. Thousands were outside calling for the preacher to come and preach in the steps. And that night, at the end of the service, he went to his home and he was greatly elated. And he said, my, what will the papers say tomorrow when they're printed about my preaching? But you know, as he sat by the fire that evening, instead of being really pleased, a great shadow of disheartening and disappointment came over him. And when the time came for bed, he said to his wife and family, I'm going to sit at the fire a little time. I want to be alone. And he sat at the fire, and he watched the coals of the fire slowly dying until they became ashes. And he sat there long after midnight. And then he pricked up his ears And he said, surely that's not someone knocking at the door. And sure enough, there was a deliberate knocking on the door. And he shuffled down the hall in his slippers and opened the door, and there was a woman standing there. He said, such a sight. Plowed across her face were the deepest wrinkles that he had ever seen. And there was no flesh upon her bones. And he said, she caught me by the arm, and she stuck her long nails into my arm. And all she said and all she could say was this, my daughter's dying and you've got to get her in. My daughter's dying and you've got to get her in. The great preacher said, I don't know you. You don't belong to my church. I can't do anything. She said, sir, she's dying and you've got to come and get her in. Nothing would do, but he would put on his coat and get on his shoes. And that woman caught him by the arm, and she led him down the great avenue where his church stood. And he looked at that great building. It looked so dark and dismal in the shadows. And he passed on down to the lowest part of the town, a part he never had imagined existed. And she took him up one alley and down another alley until he was right in the heart of slumland. And she took him up a rickety stairway, and she threw open a door, and there was a lamp hanging from a rafter and a piece of wire, and there was some straw in the corner, and there was a young woman, and he knew she was dying, and she was lying there gasping. And the woman pointed to her, and she said, there's my daughter, and you've got to get her in. And Barry stood speechless. He said, I was flabbergasted. I had no word to say. I was a man without a message. And I was confronted with a dying woman. And I was speechless. And he said, before I knew, she said, aren't you going to pray? And she dragged me over to the bedside, and she pushed me down upon my knees, and she said, sir, she's dying, get her in. And Dr. Barry, as he tells it, he said, I thought of my old praying mother who told me the story of Jesus. And he said, I simply told the story of the cross. Of a Savior who came from heaven to earth, from glory to shame, from the crown to the cross, born to bleed, the suffering man of sorrows. And he says, I told it. And the next Sunday morning, the great preacher, when he rehearsed it, he finished off and he said, men and brethren, I got her in and I got myself in too. I got her in and I got myself in too. Friend, you get into Christ tonight. Make sure you're in. For the day when you die, if you're not in, you'll be out. Out. Out in the darkness for all eternity. May God forbid that that should be so, for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, thou hast been speaking to our hearts. This has been a solemn night. The great storm's coming. Praise God, the ark's provided. It's a single ark. Praise God, it's a sizable ark. Thank God, it's a safe ark. Praise God, its structure is perfect and its shelter is impregnable. Oh God, get men and women into Christ tonight. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and we're all still and quiet, no one moving, the service will be over in a few minutes. There are men and women in the meeting tonight, and they're not saved. Never said yes to Christ. They're outside the ark. They're in danger of doom and damnation. God help you in tonight. God bring you in tonight. God bring you to Himself. There are backsliders here that need to be restored. The wandered far from God, the brought to their hearts pain and woe. My backsliding brother, my backsliding sister, come back to Jesus tonight. Come back to Jesus. There are Christians here. Praise God, we're in by the grace of God. Remember the night God brought you in, brother? Remember the night God brought you in, sister? What an incoming it was. What glory filled your soul. Oh, pray for sinners tonight. Pray for backsliders tonight. That in the service there'll be a response to the preaching of the gospel. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me tell you, sinner, let me tell you, backslider, there's only one way to the cross where you can be saved, and that's the road marked confession of sin. If we confess our sins, will you confess your sin tonight? Will you do it tonight? It's all you've got to do. Are you a backslider? Will you confess your backsliding? That's all you've got to do tonight. It's simple, isn't it? Praise God. The ark is ready. The door is open. The invitation sounding. Please God, you'll join the procession of the saints and go marching in tonight.